Today I want to talk about how you stay fit and healthy. You are a social person. It's hard to measure that, but the totality of everyone that you know is a vibrant part of you. You're interconnected. You have emotions, so you have feelings, and you have a body, and you have a mind, and you have social relationships, and you have a soul. That's a rough and simplified definition of who you are. Some people deny some parts of that. Most of us don't deny that we live physically. Some people say, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in a soul. So I don't need to have my soul stay fit, healthy, and buoyant. But in terms of the totality of who you are, we can ask the question, how does your spirit stay healthy? And ask this or seek this question a little bit more. Fascinating reality is this. Your body will not survive this life. Your emotions will go with it. Your mind will be lost in the brain that's no longer functioning. And your relationships will be lost for a while. Your soul lives on. I don't know this week whether you've asked the question, how's my soul doing? You probably asked, how's my body doing? So the question that can be then asked is, how does your soul stay fit, healthy, and buoyant? It's not an easy question, at least for me. But it's a good question. If it is going to survive this life, and then after this life, as the Bible claims, you will receive a new body, new emotions, new mind, new relationships, even though the ones from this world will be still connected, we better get a handle on how our soul stays healthy, I think. How do we keep our soul healthy? The response is earlier, pray, stay connected. These are valuable ways to keep your soul connected, to keep your soul healthy. But interestingly enough, Paul also asked this question. So let me just kind of put it into context with you. How can you be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power? How do you do that? That's talking about your soul. This is a spiritual passage. How do you stay fit, healthy, and buoyant in your soul? How do you be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power? Now, I just want to pause there for a moment with that question hanging. Because 2 weeks ago, we looked at this text as well. It's a rich text, so this is one of those times where I want to go back to it and look at it from a different perspective. Last time we were together, we talked on October 27th about this battle that we have in our lives against evil. It's real, it exists, you've experienced it before. Sometimes when we deny it exists, that's the truth of the fact that you're in it. The truth is, we have a battle against evil, against the devil, who is called in the Bible the ancient serpent, the dragon, the roaring lion, the adversary, the father of all lies, the tempter, Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 and Revelation 12 tells us that he's greedy and foolish and proud and vain and violent and sinful. He engages in dishonest trade, destruction. He leads people astray. He accuses people before God day and night. He wages war against those who keep God's command and share Christ's testimony. He is the monster. He's the monster of your soul. It's the reason why this text was written is because he attacks you spiritually. Attacks your soul. But we are told in Revelation, the promise to us in Revelation is that we will defeat the devil, will triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You see that? By the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ sacrificing the cross, and by our experience, our testimony. That's how we'll triumph over him. Okay, well, between now and the time that we triumph over him, how do we stay fit and buoyant and healthy? How do we remain strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? Well, first let me guide you to this. Paul says something very interesting in two little letters. How does your soul remain strong? Well, he says, how are you strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? If you think that your soul's standing out there against wind and rain and winter weathers, that's not the truth. In Christ, you are in the Lord, in his power. You're connected. And he answers the question here for us. Let me just read this, and you can read along with this on the screen. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Big text, rich text. What is it saying to us? Well, 2 weeks ago we considered what this text says about where we stand in this global reality of evil forces and good forces and our own person. Today I want to talk about how you, by day-to-day, stay fit and healthy. Paul uses the image of a soldier. And so throughout history, other theologians and translators have tried to come up with another analogy. It's really hard to, because a soldier could die in battle. A soldier needed this kind of protection. So people have said, well, let's look at what an athlete has. Athlete wasn't at the same risk as a soldier. Well, let's look at what a doctor has. Hard analogy to use. One analogy that I heard this week was really interesting, probably the closest I've ever heard, is a firefighter. And this is what was written about a firefighter. A firefighter has infrared goggles, allows the firefighter to see the heat spots and know the truth of the situation. A firefighter has an oxygen mask that gives him the ability to breathe. A firefighter allows her to wear the boots, so she has good footing when she's in a fire, not lose her standing. She wears a helmet that protects her head. He has a fire hose with him that allows him to put out the flames that's threatening him. Carries an axe to cut down that which is in his way so he can extinguish the fire. She takes a ladder, which helps her to reach places that are out of reach. I don't know. Maybe you think that's a good analogy in terms of understanding how you protect yourself. Because the truth about what Paul is using here as an analogy, a Roman soldier, it was about battle. It wasn't about sitting around the garrison. Your soul is to be active in life, bringing life to you and your body, and to go out and do God's will. That's what your soul is to be out. It's a good analogy using a soldier. We are to stay in the power of God, connected to the rest of our commanding officer's troops. That's the way we stay strong. We can't be a rogue soldier just going out and trying to fight the battle ourselves. We won't even understand what battle is. Staying in the Lord, in his mighty power. He'll protect us, but we still need his armor to wear. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying God has you in his protection, but you still got to wear the protective gear. Makes sense. Makes sense. So he says, be strong in the Lord. Find your context, your soul's context in the Lord in his mighty power. That's kind of like a title over top of everything, because we'll look at specific ways that you stay connected. He starts off just a little bit further. He talks about the full armor of God, put on every part of it. Every part's important in battle. I was watching the movie the other night, which showed the life of Achilles and how Achilles went down because an arrow hit his heel. You have to protect everywhere because the attacks can come from everywhere. And as I've gotten to know you, I know that the devil has finds ways of attacking you that you don't expect him at all. So he says, first thing down below, it says, put on the full armor of God, stand your ground, put the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now for us, never been a Roman soldier, don't quite know what the belt of truth means wrapped around us. If we take the concept further and say we're supposed to wrap truth around us, we're supposed to, let me use this analogy, we're supposed to ingest truth, we're supposed to eat truth, we're supposed to listen and read. What does this mean practically? It means studying the Bible. It means studying the Bible to be able to then say, this is my standard for truth, and then everything else that you read has to come in alignment of that standard. It's the barometer. And then reading Christian books, reading the newspaper, reading magazines will allow you then to test it, as the Bible says, against what's the truth. So when people lie to you, which they will do every day if you allow them to, you can say, sorry, it's not truth. It's not going to impact my soul. Think about it. When you're in the grocery store and you're lined up to pay for your groceries, you can pick up a magazine that is full of lies. Maybe it's for fun. Maybe you enjoy reading the articles because you find the journalism interesting, but they're not true. And you can test them against the Word of God. Aliens come to Earth and inhabit Barack Obama. Nah, that's not true, because the Bible talks about only one form of alien, and that's called angels. I don't believe it. There are people out there that do believe it. That's the tragedy. That's the test. How do you wrap truth around you? Be so surrounded by truth that you know a lie. And you can challenge people with that. Second thing he says is put the breastplate of righteousness on. Well, what does a breastplate of righteousness do? I don't wear a breastplate of righteousness every day when I go out. Well, what he's saying is when you put on something over your heart, it means that you are accepting, that you are believing in Christ, you're yielding to him. In fact, the breastplate, because it was a protection item, protected your heart. It was nothing your heart was doing. It protected you. What protects your heart? It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ seen here with our communion table. It's his righteousness that protects you and God. Anyone that comes along to you says, no. You have to pray this prayer so many times to be saved. No, it's Christ that saves me. No. You have to bow down in a certain direction so many times to be pleased by God. No. The breastplate of righteousness protects me. The breastplate of righteousness is about believing where you are in Christ. It's not a weapon, it's a shield. It says, have your feet ready, readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel actually prepares you to go and share the gospel. The more you are immersed in what Jesus taught in the gospels, the more it prepares you with your own willingness to go and love people accordingly. The gospel is both a motivational tool and the very subject that you're taking out with you. Be ready to take the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith. Another shield that is talked about. What is this shield of faith? The shield of faith is suspending your appraisal and your evaluation that what you evaluate in life is not exhaustive and not conclusive. In other words, what you believe about yourself aside from the Word of God is not exhaustive. It's not the last word, and it's not conclusive. When you read the Word of God, when you take faith, you can believe in what God thinks about you through the Word of God. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, trust in Him, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. In other words, every day that you live, come at life with the attitude of, I can't fully appraise the situation myself. I can come up with a good answer, but the final answer is from God. So God, this is the wisdom that you've given me to apply in this situation. I want to do this, God. I've researched it. The final answer is yours. You provide the way. You guide me in the path. All of you in some ways have said to me in various places, God closed that route and he opened another one. That's beautiful because that's God guiding you. Well, 5 years ago, I was challenged with the Lord-led life. What is the Lord-led life? Oddly, that's also triple L. Lord-led life, which is a ladies' group in our church labeled triple L. Lord-led life is the life that says, I am not my own. I'm not going to craft my future. I'm going to let God direct me and make good decisions along the way. As a financial planner, I interacted with various people on their wealth, what they were building, their goals. Top three goals in Canada for the average person is to get out of debt, to educate their children, and to retire comfortably. So as I interacted with people on 12 different choices of what they could do, that's what pretty much they said. I just want to get out of debt. I just want to educate my children and get them out of my house. And I want to... and I want to retire comfortably. Oddly enough, when I met those people, as a financial planner, started off with some people who were 20, 30, planning their life. I then began to meet people who were 50, 60, 70 years old. And I started to ask them questions like, did you make a plan 15 years ago, 25 years, 40 years ago? No. I had no idea that I would end up here, wonderfully married to her or to him in the life that I'm living. Think about it. 25 years ago, if you've lived that long, did you have a plan to be here today? There is something about our lives that we do not control where we end up. It's the reality that we're not sovereign. Someone else is, and that's God. Take the helmet of salvation, he says. Helmet of salvation. What can that possibly mean? How can we apply that in our lives? The helmet of salvation is wearing something over your mind that protects your mind from false theologies, beliefs that can attack your salvation. God gives you salvation. God says you have the right to enter my glory in heaven because my son has died for you. Put that over your head and say, I'm wearing this, so when I get a shot to the head, it won't affect it. Romans says this, Paul writing to Romans says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you transform the renewing of your mind? You read this and let it transform you. That's the changing of your mind. Helmet of salvation. Then he says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. How are you going to know which direction to go in life if you can't in your mind understand what God's will is? God reveals his general will in Scripture. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So much of our spirit's health, our soul's health, comes through our mind because we're interconnected. So we can feel something one day. We can start to research it with our mind and be convinced that it's true. And it gets into our soul and we change as people because we felt a feeling that's gone to our mind and gone to our soul. And we find out we're different people, both positively and negatively. And our body just follows along. You know that to be true. It's all interconnected. Through the truth of the gospel and our faith in God. Faith, what is faith? Faith is believing in the truth that is not yet fully revealed now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things to come. It's not believing in something airy-fairy. It's not believing something that is false. Think about it. If God asked you to have faith in something false, that wouldn't be faith. That would be misleading, misdirection. Faith is having something, or faith is being able to focus on something that is going to happen but is not present reality. I hope to have grandchildren one day. I have faith that I'm going to have grandchildren one day. Are they real? No. Are my boys engaged to any girls? No. There's no evidence of it yet. Where are they? Do they have the capacity to date successfully, to win a girl's heart? to get engaged and to have a child? I believe they do. That's my faith. That's faith. Abraham was told to have faith, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. God said, I love you because you believe in me that you'll be a nation. And every day you pick up the news and it talks about Abraham's nations, all of his people. Lastly, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. If you want to attack life spiritually, I'm not saying quote the Bible to everyone you see. I'm saying live out the Bible, interacting with everyone you see. If you have the Word of God in you as a tool to say, what am I going to do today? Well, I'm going to be kind to my spouse and to those living in my family and my friends. That's what the Bible tells me to do. I'm going to stick with my relationships because that's what God tells me to do. I'm going to sacrifice myself to those around me because the Bible says God rewards that. I'm going to live a life that when I go to work, I'm going to do my best at work and be productive at work so that people can then say to me and say, wow, you have given more to this company, this organization, this whatever, and so we'll keep you because you're living your life with integrity based on this. It's the Word of God, sword of the Spirit. But why, this is the only tool that you have in what Paul lists that is attacking evil. Everything else is protecting you. The Bible is what attacks Satan. Jesus used it to attack Satan on the mountain. You want to attack evil in your life? You want to get to a point where you say, God in me, I don't have to fear what the devil wants to do around me. I don't fear him. How do you get that? With exercising what you know through the Word of God. You attack the devil by knowing his word, speaking it back to him. In fact, the archangel Michael was recorded as saying, speak back to God, condemning devil, in relationship with God. Interesting attack pattern. Lastly, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Connected to your soul, pray to God, thanking him, adoring him, confessing your failures, and asking him to direct you. That's praying. If you want to attack with your feet prepared, pray to God. Pray for all the Lord's people. And it says, always be alert and keep on praying for the Lord's people. You see, we're all in this together. You're not a rogue soldier. You're not gone AWOL. You're together. You need to be together because you need your back protected. And you need other people warring for you, praying for you. We do this well as a church, pray for each other, being connected to each other. I think God has brought us to that place. But it says, be alert, always keep on praying for the Lord's people. The first phrase said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, staying connected to the commander. Our vision, as we've been talking about, speaks to this dynamic. Our vision is that all of you have a number. We said five. A small group that you can be connected to and you can call and say, I'm not doing this well this week. Or you can call and say, this is a great week. I'm celebrating this. I know in a large group, we kind of get mixed up in some of the dynamics. It's a big family to be part of. That's why we've said five faithful friends and fellowship. People that you invest into and invest into you. It's your small group of soldiers you're together with. We've also talked about the capacity that we have greater ability to love. We have empty chairs here. We have the capacity to have more people come. We do. You have that love. I've seen that love. You can love more people. And we want to be open to more people who need God's love, who are not living with this kind of strength, who are out there before the devil being attacked. No protection. And supporting what we're doing with 5%. I started off asking you the question about how you stay fit, how you stay healthy, how you stay buoyant. I have to confess that I know that my words here on Sunday morning are only a small part of how you stay fit and healthy and buoyant. There's lots of other ways to do it. We have a library just at the back which you can take and read and be filled up. Your own personal Bible study is important. Getting connected to a small group, whether it's in this church or another place, in which you study the Word of God. Watching, we have this fantastic technology strength in our society now whereby you can download or you can buy DVDs or you can turn on the TV and watch uplifting music and teaching that blesses you. I encourage you to listen to other programs. Always test it back on the Word of God. But listen to them as you're able. You can listen to them on your iPod as you're traveling. We don't have a strong radio station in Toronto, Christian radio station in Toronto, but there's WDCX across the lake, and there's Christian radio from Barrie. There's lots of ways of staying connected. You're all very different in terms of your personalities. But if you want to keep your soul healthy, you need to do that.